What I hope you gain from today's talk is to learn about the legislation in Texas, learn about the approaches to changing immunization requirements, and about the unintended consequences that could have happened and some that did. The governor issued an executive order to direct the Health and Human Services Commission that has oversight over the Department of State Health Services to establish a sixth grade requirement for female students by rule. We did have the authority to establish rules pertaining to immunization requirements. The executive order also required that the exemption for reasons of conscience form to be able to be requested online. Now, that doesn't mean that the form itself or the affidavit itself was available online, but the request to request the form be online, which is a point of clarification because the governor's executive order said one thing and the media release from the governor's office said another. So we really had to get those cleared up. The governor also had a larger cancer prevention and research agenda, and he put forward to the taxpayers that $30 billion be approved. That did go before the voters last fall, and that $30 billion was approved. Now, the legislative response was quite massive, to say the least. There were 35 bills relating to immunizations introduced during the 80th session. And to give you some perspective, in the previous session, in the 79th session, there were only five. Many of the 35 did relate to HPV. A lot of them were also educational bills, not just related to requirements. Some of the bills that came out Well, there was a lot of talk that questioned the authority of the governor to do an executive order. The Attorney General's office came out and said basically it has no legal binding. All the executive order did was direct our Health and Human Services Commission to establish a rule. So the legislature then started questioning the Health and Human Services Commission's ability to establish such requirements by rule. We had to give rule by rule, vaccine by vaccine, how these became implemented over time. And our rules go all the way back to the 1970s, early 70s. So we had to do quite a bit of a historical research there. This also became an issue as our Health and Human Services Executive Commissioner was up for confirmation. He or she is appointed by the governor and is confirmed through Senate hearings. There were many polarized opinions expressed during the debate at the Capitol. I think one of the most shocking was one night at 12:30 midnight, when everyone was starting to fall asleep, an individual stood up and said that he really didn't want any of his taxpayers' dollars going to any health programs whatsoever, and all the Texas sluts can just die for all he cared. The whole room did what you just did. They gasped. A lot of vaccine safety misinformation was put out, and that became apparent in the bills that were finally approved through the session and made it to law, and that the education that we are to put into place must be peer-reviewed. The legislation is very specific about what it must include. The Health and Human Services and DSHS roles, we're to respond to the governor's and all legislative requests. We often would be providing one side some information for an argument, the other side some information for another side of the argument, and go home and see our information on the news, pro and con. But we have we only get to answer the questions. We don't get to make opinions or anything like that, not in the state government. We also had to provide credible data sources on the new vaccine to answer the questions about vaccine safety. Merck's information was suspect, largely due in part to a news release that Merck had donated about $5,000 to Governor Perry's campaign. That's not a large donation, but it was in the news at this time. We also serve as resource witnesses at bill hearings, and we develop briefing documents for various audiences. and we work real hard to educate legislators on the consequences of dangerous bills. And I'll talk a little bit about one of those as I get towards the end of the presentation. The vaccine manufacturers have a role as well, educating legislators regarding their products, we always request that manufacturers work with the state immunization program on their legislative agendas so that when we go downtown, we're talking together and not in in opposition to each other. Where was Merck while this debate raged? They didn't come to the Capitol. They started the debate and walked out on us. In fact, I guess a month and a half after the governor's executive order was released, or at some time frame there, Merck announced nationally that they were withdrawing their efforts to work towards state requirements in various legislatures. The final outcome of our legislative session is that the sixth grade requirement was overturned. The dangerous bill the most dangerous bill that we had introduced would have actually put any public health effort that we would take to keep a disease from spreading or transmitting outside of a legislative session, that the minute the session would begin, the legislature would take over, and anything the health department had put in place to control that disease would have been null and void. So it would have given all the power to stop diseases from spreading to the legislature, and they're only in session once every 2 years. The education-related bills did survive, and the final language of the bill that came out and became law is that an HPV requirement can again be looked at in 2009, which our next session starts in January, so we're going to repeat last session all over again, possibly. So we're already preparing for the debate again. The repercussions. We are currently reviewing our rules. We're required every 4 years to review all rules. And we do have a new vaccine that we would like to propose a rule for. However, the department and leadership, both at the Health and Human Services Commission and at the State Health Services Department, no one is willing to go out and do this without first coordinating through key legislators' offices and the governor's office. So this has already caused a 3-month delay in our rule because we have to do all of these notifications. And if any one legislator should oppose heavily this bill or this rule, we likely will remove it from the rule and defer to the legislature for the session. Now, the one thing that did happen as well is that even though the executive order to make a sixth grade requirement for HPV vaccine was overturned, I mentioned that executive order also wanted to be able to make the request for the exemption online. That piece went forward, and we do now have the capability for individuals to request the affidavit online. And with that, I'll conclude. And I'll also give you my email address for anyone who's interested in more information about legislation. And it's jack.sims@dshs.state.tx.us. And thank you.
Okay, we have a good deal of time for questions and discussion, and I think all of our panelists will be happy to engage in some dialogue. Do any of you have any questions for any of us up here? Yeah, Howard.
Impression our legislation got of requirements. And I guess I want to that's on?
Yes,
that is. Thanks for your comment. You know, I think one of the key things I'd like to point out is that several years ago, working with the CDC, a grant from the CDC, we initiated our Cervical Cancer Summit, which includes at least 50% of that conference are non-policymakers, state departments of health, the federal, HHS, and many stakeholders. And anyone that's interested here today to participate in this year's conference, I'd love to get your business card and have you at the table, because we fully agree. And I think one of the things that's really important is that every state is different. Some states feel that they're ready for certain things, others are not, and need to have initial discussions. We recognize there's not a one-size-fits-all, and I think that it's really important to have those discussions. So if you could approach me at the end, I'd like to get your card.
Okay.
I think that's the Association of Immunization Managers. Okay, any other questions or comments? Jack, what do you see coming up in the, so is your legislature currently not in session?
Correct.
Okay, and so what do you anticipate coming up next time round? You said that you thought you were going to get to do this all again, but it seems like things are really not likely to play out exactly the way they did the first time round. So do you have any thoughts about to what degree things might be different second time round?
Well, I think the biggest discussion was around this vaccine being so new and that there not being enough information about the safety. So I think that with two more years of this vaccine being given out there, there will be a better track record of the use of the vaccine in the general population, and there will be more safety information.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things that was striking to me watching all this play out, is that although there wasn't any reason based on the pre-licensure experience to be particularly concerned about safety, it really did indicate the level of discomfort lots of people had with moving toward mandates for something that was so new.